to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Starker.
Hey,
we're back. What's up?
I gotta say, I do enjoy these recordings. I'm enjoying them more and more each time we do it.
Yeah.
Because remember the days when I was terrified?
Yeah, I do remember the days that
I mean,
you
I still
terrified.
Am, but yeah. I think I'm masking it pretty well.
You're doing
now.
A great job, honestly. I remember the days where I was terrified. It was back in the days where it was mainly Teddy James, who used to be part of this program, and Wesley Wildman, who also would pop in. It was usually them co-hosting together, and they started to bring me in occasionally. Mm-hmm. I was a nervous wreck. And I would see either TJ or Wesley kind of give me the nod. It's like, okay, it's your turn next to say something. And I would be like, I don't know what to say.
And I was just the sound, like, I was just on the board.
Yeah.
And I was just board hopping. And it was like every now and then you could chime in. And usually I wouldn't actually be a part of the show unless somebody couldn't be there.
Right.
But that's when we had decided we all had to be, like, there had to be three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then our pal TJ left us.
He got up and went.
Abandoned us. No, the Lord opened a door for another job, and he took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was me, you, and Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wesley, his job is just demanding all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
As our VP of outreach, he just really and he really throws himself into that, into being like building relationships with our supporters and stuff like that. And so he is just constant on the go, and it just became too much for him to be a full-time part of the show, and so became
us.
Here
we are. Yeah.
And here we are, the two people that were not supposed to be on this show at all,
right.
And we're co-hosting.
And you know what?
It.
I think we've grown, you know, a bit. Like, a lot of people, I describe it, you know, people say, oh, I listen to the show. You know, y'all sound really good. I'm like, we do.
That's great.
That's great. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you think so.
When I talk about this show to people, I give you all kinds of compliments.
Oh, thank you.
You've got such a great radio voice. And you got it. Your dad.
Hey, it's genetic. Yeah.
Yeah, your dad, who does the stand radio, also on AFR, Mr. Jeff Shambly, he's got that voice,
It's golden.
Too.
Yeah.
He does. It is golden. And
right.
He is just, anyways, he's the coolest. And I just feel like I don't know, you're country enough. I guess you're from the South.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm just too country.
Nah. I think people enjoy hearing a twang.
Good, because that's what
I think.
Getting.
I mean, I think they do.
I hope so.
I think.
So I hope we're doing well. And if you think that we could do better, well, you know what you could do? Please don't tell us. We'll cry about it.
Right, exactly.
No, but really, thank you guys for listening. We're so glad that you're here. And if you want to know more about AFA and AFR, you can go to afa.net where you can find everything that we do here.
Yeah.
Everything from our print magazine and blog called The Stand to our resource center where you can buy coffee and t-shirts and books and all kinds of things there. And then, of course, AFR.
Yeah.
And you can get connected to all of our other podcasts. So
yeah.
If you enjoy this one, great. If you're like, well, this one's not really my cup of tea, well, they've got tons of other podcasts. You're going to find some great content.
Yeah, you'll find something. I mean, just the podcast page on AFR.net has so many great things to listen to that I really encourage you to go check it out. And the great thing about podcasts is you don't have to wait till it comes on the air. You can just start listening to the backlog and you just have.
Oh, you have tons.
Huge amounts of things to listen to.
And today we're going to talk something that has to do with parenting.
Uh-huh.
And so I will say, if you're into that kind of content, I will encourage you to listen to our friend, Dr. Jessica Peck, who has her program, Dr. Nurse Mama.
Yep.
And she does a lot of content for you parents out there. So if you're enjoying the content about parenting, I encourage you to go give her a listen.
Absolutely. Well, here on this program, we try to talk about things that are of use spiritually to every Christian, but we kind of try to make it specific to younger Christians. And a lot of younger Christians in this kind of age bracket we're thinking of, up into the mid-30s, a lot of them are having their children for the first time, you know, first-time parents, which is a crazy time of life, I gotta say.
I know
firsthand experience. I've got three ages ranging from 7 to 1. And I will tell you that the first three, and I don't know about the fourth because that we haven't been there yet, but every time you have a baby, up till number three at least, is very different. Mm-hmm. You feel like a first-time parent every time, and you change in a lot of different ways. It is a challenge, probably the hardest thing I've ever done, and I would guarantee if you're going to have children, I would probably tell you it's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. But it is really a blessing, too, to sit back and think about it and to think about your kids as, wow, these are like whole beings. These are little people that God has, that God has given into my responsibility, not to own them, have any sort of ownership over them, but to guide them and to teach them about God and about the world. It's a huge privilege, but it's also a very weighty responsibility. And there are so many voices out in the world that have a lot of opinions on what is the right thing to do, what is the right way to parent. And my goodness, it can be really, really difficult to sort through those to know who's telling the truth, who's actually got the best interest of your children at heart, and who do you listen to, who has the most wisdom. But obviously, we believe that the Bible has the most wisdom. Now, there isn't a book called How to Raise Your Children in the Bible. There isn't. But we do see how God, the Father, raises his children.
Yeah.
And that kind of led me to write an article a while ago, actually, about how to model behavior for your kids. Because something that is very important for us to realize, even if we're not parents, is that behavior is taught not by you sitting down and verbally teaching behavior to your children, but by they're going to act the way you act.
Yeah.
That's how it's taught the majority of the time. And so when it comes to, you know, teaching our kids how to behave towards one another, how to act towards people in society, that's going to be stuff that we model for them, which can be quite a challenge.
It is, because I don't know if you're like me, but I think everybody puts on a bit of a face in public, and when you're like, when I'm here at work and stuff like that, and like whatever my emotions are, especially my negative emotions, I'm not going to show them the same way as I do at home.
Exactly. Same here.
You're willing to like have your little breakdown at home and really show that you're angry or whatever. Well, when you have kids, you've got this little audience that's constantly soaking all that up.
Yeah.
They're watching it, and they're taking it all in, and they really model your behavior. Now, you know, I don't have any children of my own. I'm in that stage of life where I get to love on my sister's kids and then send them back home.
Yeah. that sounds nice.
So we like act goofy and silly, and then I send that back to their mom,
all revved up and ready to go.
Who's like calling me and is like, why are they making faces that look like this? What is going on here? I'm like, oh, I'd toss them that 100%. You know? And but like when they are with me, I have seen moments when they like do something like I do it. And then they're looking at me to see if I see them.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure. I can't.
Yeah. It really is. And you brought up a good point, too, about how we handle our emotions in different situations. Mm-hmm. And when I'm at home, the way I handle emotions is very different than the way I handle them here at work or out in public. But like you said, our kids are watching us when we do that. And the emotion thing in particular can be really difficult, because in our culture, specifically our Christian, more conservative culture, there is a great deal of emphasis put on it. Do not let your emotions rule you. And I think that is excellent advice. I mean, that is self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something we should be seeking to cultivate. But I do think that there is a fallacy, and I certainly have fallen prey to this fallacy as well, is when you're teaching your kids not to let their emotions control them. Number one, we kind of forget that they are kids, and there is a very limited amount of ways that they can actually do
and
that.
And they don't have the adult mindset
exactly.
to really kind of process those emotions.
Right, yeah. So they're kids. They're going to be kids. They're not going to all of a sudden be mature little 40-year-olds and in a 2-year-old's body or whatever. So rein in our expectations in that way. But also the idea of controlling your emotion, or rather not letting your emotions control you, the way you do that, the fallacy being tamp your emotions down, you know, smother your emotions, don't express them at all. That is really, really unhealthy, especially for children.
Oh, as you know, even though I don't have children, I was the child.
Yeah, me
who
too.
Who tended to bottle up my emotions, and I can say it's not healthy. It's not good.
No, it's not
good. When I was young, I could not, and I was that child, I could not stand to be a disappointment in any way.
Yeah.
I could not stand, like, you didn't have to punish me. I would punish myself. Like, if my mom looked at me and, like, and she wouldn't, like, if my mom was like, I'm very disappointed in your behavior. Oh, you don't got to ground me. I'm going to go sit in my room and think about what I've done. You ain't got to tell me to.
Yeah.
Because that's all I'm going to think about. And that's the kind of kid I was. And so I tended, because you sometimes it's like my real emotions, especially if they're not positive towards you. Mm-hmm. Like, if I need to feel like I need to have a real talk with somebody, I'm like, that's going to upset them. They're going to be upset. And I can't upset people.
Oh.
So instead, I would press those down until I would just finally have a breakdown alone in my room where I couldn't stop crying.
Yeah.
And it, you know, like, and I just could not, you know, and it was just too overwhelming.
Right. Now, I think a lot of people have different ways that that kind of expresses itself. When we've been taught that we need to not express emotion, tamp it down, control it, you know, be this more tough attitude towards it.
And I don't think there, and I will say, teaching your kids, you should teach your kids how to express their emotions in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Not teach them to not show them at all.
Yeah.
The I'm going to give you something to cry about mentality. I've always hated. Yes. I know there's probably some parents out there that are like,
who are
probably getting upset. I'm like, okay, but like if your kid is constantly pitching fits, there's a difference in crying because you're upset and like pitching a fit because you're not getting your way, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
So if your kid is like, you get your child in trouble in whatever way and form and they're crying, well, how do you feel when you get in trouble?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you feel like crying a little
and,
bit?
I mean, exactly. And it would be wrong for us to if our child is actually sad. It really doesn't matter what they're sad about, really. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that they're feeling this thing, that's an opportunity for us to disciple them, right? Because I really feel like that's where discipleship happens, not the sort of like standing over them just, you know, downloading truth into their head and hopefully they adopt it into their personality. That doesn't work. Nobody's a robot. But when they're actually feeling something, that gives us something to interact with. And I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, their siblings stole their last piece of food that they were really wanting.
Oh,
they
man.
Have a breakdown. Okay. That's an opportunity for us to come alongside, because eventually those emotions are going to be about bigger things one day. This is a safe place for us to sit and say, okay, he took your cookie. This is a safe arena for us to deal with this kind of emotion and this kind of feeling. Your feelings do matter. They are a part of you, and eventually and hopefully one day you will give them to Christ to be Lord of.
Well, it's
but right now,
it's a WWE arena.
But right now it's a good time to be like, okay, you feel sad about this. This is how to feel sad. Instead of saying it's wrong for you to feel sad, it's bad for you to feel this way, you should never, it's shameful, you should say instead, here's a healthy way to feel this way. Here's a positive way to work that energy out of you and to move on with your life. And that's how you don't let it control you, instead of just, you know, putting it into a little cage inside of you and one day it's just going to burst out and be bad for everybody.
Yeah, my sister's kids, they are 5'3" and almost 2, not quite 2 yet. And the oldest, he gets, you know, he gets mad and he starts balling up that little fist and stuff like. And he just gets, you know, I said, what I've started doing with him when he does it in front of me is I grab him by the hands and I said, okay, let's breathe. Mm-hmm. And he'll look at me and he'll breathe in. And before you know it, he's like grinning. I said, see, now you feel better. So when you feel mad, you stop and you breathe in and breathe out and stuff. You can't go hit brother in the head.
Right.
And the one you got to watch out for is the little girl, the almost 2-year-old, because like, if someone takes something that she wants, she got that little hand behind her, start doing that little wind up like Popeye.
Right.
She's about you yeah. know, and so, but you know, again, she's a little bit younger. It's harder. You can't explain things to her,
right.
really. But at that age, that's when the learning how to do it yourself for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think adults, we struggle with how to
Absolutely.
Process emotions mm-hmm. in the correct way. And then that's what your kids are saying.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about, yeah, the two-year-old, you can't sit them down on the couch and talk to them and explain things to them in the same way you could a seven-year-old.
You can try, but she's going
to
get
You can
nothing.
Try. She'll probably not understand no. a lot of that. But what you can do is model that. And
yeah.
so, yeah, it will do us no good, I mean, as parents or as it just influences in a child's life, to tell them the right thing, tell them truth, good things, but then when they watch us to completely act a completely different kind of way. So it's going to take a lot of intentionality and, like, noticing how we how
exactly.
we are acting.
I think it all starts with yourself, not with
yeah.
how you're telling your kids to act,
mm-hmm.
but how you yourself are acting.
Yeah.
And so when you see them acting in a particular way, I'm like, why do they do that?
Yeah.
Why do they do that? I'm like, maybe you need to reflect a little bit. And like, do I?
Yeah. Where did
is that?
Learn
how
that?
Is that how I react?
Right. Yeah.
Now it could also be something on TV, and hopefully, if you're a parent, you are. You know,
oh,
monitoring
sure. yeah.
what your kids are watching, but mm-hmm. sometimes they may be seeing something like that, and
mm-hmm.
someone process their emotions.
Because
mm-hmm. I think a lot of, like, especially cartoons use like the angry guys, funny, mm-hmm. haha, funny, and
yeah.
it's like, okay, but
right.
you can't haul off and start screaming at everybody. It's in real life, it's not funny.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely, and yeah, I mean. We are going to be, I mean, as influential as entertainment is, and we absolutely must be vigilant and make sure that the things coming in our house are aligning with what we want to teach them, teach our children. We are going to be far more influential either by our absence or by our interaction with our kids. Yeah, so if we are screaming at our children to stop screaming, what are we actually teaching them? We're not
yeah.
teaching them to stop screaming. We're teaching them to scream when they feel frustrated. So if your child has that, I mean, I'm not qualified. I'm three children in, you know, and my oldest is seven. I'm not the most qualified person ever to talk about parenting. There's far more qualified voices out there. But just from my experience, if your child has a habit where this is a destructive behavior that, if not addressed, could end up being something really bad one day,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they're learning it from you. And that's going to take a lot of humility. And I feel like that's another thing that's really missing from parenting is humility. Because good old I have to be careful what I say here, but what I would consider when people say good old-fashioned parenting, there is this kind of parenting out there that is really does not allow the parent to be humble at all,
mm-hmm.
does not allow the parent to apologize to their children ever or to admit that they're wrong or to be self-critical in any sort of way.
Exactly. Your child is learning to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are never willing to admit you're wrong
yeah.
and to correct those mistakes,
yeah.
then they're going to learn that's how they need to behave. They don't admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and sometimes as a parent, you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely
as a
true.
Human being, sometimes
yeah.
you were wrong, and you have to be willing to admit. Now, I know there's a way to do that,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, sit down with your kids and explain something and be like, I was wrong in this scenario,
mm-hmm.
and I should not have done this way.
But yeah.
that does not excuse X behavior.
Yes,
from
absolutely.
You.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that, not using that when you do apologize, because, I mean, I've seen this as well, where a parent apologizes, but they kind of turn it at the end to be a little bit of a manipulation, where it's
mm-hmm.
like, I'm sorry that I did this thing, but you really pushed me, and I really only did this thing because you made me do it. I've seen that so many times. I've done that, too,
mm-hmm.
to my shame. So being aware of that and really kind of like being aware of our own inner child when we are dealing with our children and being like, okay, I've got a lot of bad habits too that I need to take to the Lord and go through some spiritual discipline here before I can really expect my children to act any other kind of way. It really starts with me. The teacher needs to be taught the lesson before they can pass it along. And that requires a lot of humility, and it requires going to the scripture, I really believe.
Well, when you look at the relationship between a parent and child, the idea that a lot of parents have is that, I mean, I guess like you're the boss, but they see, you know, kind of see themselves as some overlord who has complete, you have some control over your child, but you don't own them in a way that, you know, that it's not an ownership thing. They belong to God. Mm-hmm. And God has placed you over them to care for them and to teach them and to raise them. And that's a responsibility. It's not, I'm the boss. You do what I say because I said it. No questions.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are probably don't like to hear that.
Right. Well, because you're dealing with humans.
Yeah. And if you look at some of the things that you say and you're like, I would never think to talk to another human being this way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something to consider.
Yeah.
You're like, if I were dealing with another person, I would never talk to them in this manner.
Yeah.
I would never, you know, obviously you're not going to talk to your friend at work and be like, you've been very bad and I'm going to take, you're going in a timeout. you know, that's not what I mean.
Yeah. Right.
But I mean, like, if you talk to your children in a way that you would never, ever treat another person,
mm-hmm.
there's a problem there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I don't know what it is, but I do think that our society dehumanizes children.
Mm-hmm.
And
then expects them to grow up to be functioning adults.
Yeah, my goodness. There's so much to unpack there. But, like, our society really does. It's totally fine and acceptable to say things like, you just hate kids. And that dehumanizes children in such a way that it does change the way people think about kids. And I know that we think we're insulated from that because we're, you know, we are Christians, we are the church, we are conservative or whatever. It really doesn't, because even within that structure that we have, if we see ourselves as just intrinsically more worthy and above our children in this sort of like, I am in control. I am the master. They really are just my servants, you know, that one day when they're 18, they won't be anymore. But for now, I can control them. That's not any better, really. And so, I mean, it can be done in the best of intentions, and hopefully it is. But there is, you do need to have humility before the Lord and say, these don't belong to me. These are your people that you've given to me. To guide them, to protect them, to make sure that they are safe, to make sure that they have every opportunity to know the truth about the world and about you, and just to ask the Lord, okay, show me my role in their life. And really, just start from scratch is a great way to go. Throw out all the parenting books and just, you know, start from scratch and just say, look, the reality is I am your child and you've given me children to be responsible for. Show me what that looks like from scratch. Throw out all your presuppositions, because a lot of them are wrong.
I think you mentioned earlier, though, the whole mindset some people have where they just out loud be like, I hate kids.
Yeah.
And that just makes me sad, because I'm going to tell you, I will say, I thank God I'm in a place where I don't know if I'm equipped mentally to have my own kids. No one is.
I'm not.
But to say, like, I just outright hate children.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
They're just kids. And whatever behavior they have is, a lot of times, a reflection of the parenting.
Yeah.
So why do you hate the kids?
Right.
Now, kids, I know that I don't know if I'm in a place. Obviously, I'm still a single Pringle. I'm just chilling. And I don't have any children of my own. But these kids are just like, I mean, I just such a precious thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we can't. I don't know. I like to see them and to think like anything other than like, I to wish ill will on kids.
Yeah.
Jill just boggles my mind.
It really does. I mean,
every day.
The Bible is very clear that children are a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gift is a very sanctifying gift and challenging.
Amen.
And, you know, but we should, whether you're a parent or not, and you're just around children, they're in your influence, you should welcome that opportunity to grow in Christ.
Yeah.
And my goodness, I'm reaching to myself right now because I know that I'm going to go home and immediately be faced with the challenges of the reality of living with a bunch of imperfect and very immature humans, including myself. and it's going to be hard. And I just need to say, Lord, you know, this is an opportunity for me to grow, to be more like Jesus, and to also show what that looks like to these little kids who are looking to me to be the interpreter of reality in a whole bunch of ways. and really what that should do is drive me to prayer, you know, because that is very, very, very scary.
Yeah. And even though, like I said, I don't have my own kids, I do have kids in my life that I am sometimes at moments responsible for, help my sister with them. And there's going to be moments. The other night, I asked my three-year-old nephew, pointed at my cheek. I said, "You'll give me a kiss." And he licked me, screamed in my ear, and then backflipped off the couch and then ran away. And it's just like, not what I was expecting. Thank you.
Not what you want.
I'm trying to wipe my cheek off. I'm like, that's really gross. Also, I'm now deaf in this side.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, goodness.
But man, they can be a blessing, a blessing.
Yeah.
And an exhausting blessing, but they're a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is up to us to guide them, to guard them, and to teach them what it means to be a Christian. And that goes far beyond our words. It goes much more into our actions. So we should always be applying scripture and sharing that truth with us every day if we have children in our lives. Well, that'll bring us to the end of this program, and we will see you next week.